If you would, start with Psalm 139. Psalm 139, I want you to notice two verses there. And while you're finding that, I'll introduce the subject for this morning. The subject for this morning is the body, a gift from God and to glorify God. Now, I kind of look back on some things that I've communicated, and I don't ever remember having a focus message on the human body, okay? The Bible actually has a lot to say about the human body. I'm going to tell you why we're focused here this morning in just a minute, but I want to start out by a good focus on the fact that our physical bodies were developed in the womb and designed by God. And we are not amongst those who, and I understand in certain categories of people, whether they're adults or teens, that there are those who really aren't real happy or satisfied with their bodies. I read this also this week. And I want you to become satisfied with how God made you as a result of what we will see this morning. Well, look with me, and I'll tell you why this is so. Psalm 139, verse 13. Notice the psalm said, "For you, Lord, formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." So he is saying that the physical development in the womb, God has a part of this. In fact, he's the designer. And we are shorter or taller than others because this was God's design. And it's amazing how the Bible has so much to say about the human body. Stay encouraged as you realize and understand that God personally was involved with your development in your mother's womb. Now, I realize what I'm saying is a lot, okay? For some people, that's heavy duty, but it's spiritual truth, and that we need to be encouraged by it. We need to have a deep appreciation of what God has done in our lives. It's very interesting. There are very many amazing facts that we should know about the human body. I jotted down some of them. You go on the internet and you'll find tons of them. But I thought some of them were interesting. Our heart beats around 100,000 times every day and about 30 million times a year. So we should take good care of our hearts, right? Obvious. Our blood is on a 12,000-mile journey every day. It's a pretty long journey, isn't it? 12,000 miles? We give birth to over 200 billion red cells every day. 200 billion red cells. And when we touch something, we send a message to our brain at 124 miles an hour. And here's a neat one. We, as human beings, are about 70% water. Now, some of us are more than 70%, but you know what I'm saying. We're 70% water. Man, isn't it interesting how God designed the body? And is this a good place to say, with the psalmist, we are fearfully and wonderfully made? And this isn't a good time to say, we didn't evolve from animals. Go to Genesis chapters 1 and 2. Man was created by God. We'll look at these references in just a minute. So we've entitled the message this morning, "The Human Body, a Gift from God, and It's to Glorify God." Now you say, well, why do you want to dig into this morning? Well, I read an article not too many weeks ago, and it kind of grabbed me. It was a particular article written by Owen Strachan, and the title of it was "Transgender Identity: Wishing Away God's Design." Oh, you know what this is going to be dealing with? Transgender identity: wishing away God's design. Now here's the reference in Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Okay, that's very clear that God made the human race, human beings, to be either male or female. And of course, it's in that relationship that God wants to see a marriage relationship. And you know what I'm talking about there. Now, no matter how hard some people try, and this is our friend Owen's conclusion. No matter how hard some people try, they cannot wish away the fundamental physical reality that God has given to them. They can't wish it away. They can't make a choice and say, well, I was born this, but now I'm this. That's not the way it works. In fact, what is the state of North Carolina going through right now? Did you hear on the news? It was the big issue of last week. They're going through the issue is, do we want men in women's restrooms? Do we want women in men's restrooms? Think about it. Oh, well, they changed. Did they change? You answer that question. I'm going to leave it in your mind and thinking. He went on to say, we should recognize that we are witnessing moral anarchy as Western nations abandon all semblance of biblical authority. There is nothing more essential to our lives than our manhood or womanhood. Our culture is embracing, he says, transgender identity and is thus uprooting the very structure of our bodily existence. And as he says, God is not honored by this. Now let me pause here. Are we saying that we are those who hate those who are homosexual or lesbians or transgenders? Absolutely not. There is no implication that we are to hate those who make those kind of choices. We are saying that we realize that God loves them and wants them to come to faith in Him. And when they come to faith in the Lord, then they will begin to appreciate what God has said in His Word about manhood and womanhood, about sexuality, when they come to faith in Christ. I thought this was interesting too. See why I'm stirred to share this with you. The rates of suicide among transgender people show the brokenness of this choice. Paul McCune, former Johns Hopkins University psychologist in chief, not just one of the profs, but psychiatrist in chief, noted that in the Wall Street Journal that the suicide rate among transgender individuals is 20 times higher than in the rest of society. 20 times higher. I wonder why. It is the responsibility, of course, of parents to teach their children about gender and sexuality. And the point is, if we do not, our unbiblical culture will do it. The culture makers in our society who do not understand Scripture are eager to indoctrinate our children. And our children really need to understand what has God said about sexuality. I thought that was very well written. It's not written in a negative way. God's Word defines our humanity, and it calls us to see that our physical bodies are a gift from the Lord, and they're a vessel by which we give glory to God, our Maker and Redeemer. Now, let's kind of move along through this subject. A key verse in the Bible to encourage someone to understand that our bodies are a gift from God and should be well cared for and appreciated, apart from even looking at that passage in Psalm 139 where we are, where God was with us when we were created in the womb. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Would you look at that reference with me, please? You may need, the time may come when you need to sit down and encourage someone with regards to the biblical teaching of what God has said about the body. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. Do you not know, the Apostle Paul asks, that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify or honor God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. It's beautiful how the Apostle Paul is saying, do you not understand that when you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, that God the Holy Spirit came to live within you? And what a great truth that is. You know, right now, we who are here who know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we have God living within us. God the Holy Spirit. And of course, He's living within us for many reasons, by the way, Scripture tells us. But of course, to give us the enablement to live the Christian life, to give us the enablement to please our God, our Father in heaven, to give us the enablement to understand the Scriptures. So he says, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? I think it's interesting sometimes hearing even non-Christians on the tube. And they'll talk about, well, the body's the temple, you know, you got to take care of it. They've heard that before. Certainly they have. Our bodies are the instruments that we use in order to worship and serve God. We're here this morning in our physical bodies so that we might honor and glorify the Lord. When God created Adam, He formed him from the dust of the ground and gave him a human body. And I love this reference. It's Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. You can look at it or listen to it. Genesis 2, 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So to the physical body created by God, Adam, the first man, He breathed into him the breath of life. And therefore now, we, having been born into the human family, are those who have a physical body, and we have the breath of life within us. You see, we're breathing right now. And it's the breath of life that has been given to us by God. Physical life been given to us by God, even as you breathe right now. And it's interesting, at creation, the Bible is very clear that there's nothing sinful about the body. Some religious groups over the years have talked about the fact that the body is sinful. It's only the spirit that can be holy. That's not true. Not true whatsoever. The fact that the Lord Jesus Christ possessed a physical body, which was prepared for Him, is additional proof that the body is in and of itself not evil. Now, let's keep staying with this for a couple minutes. Why is the body important? Well, according to the creation account, the human body was formed of the dust of the ground by God Himself. Now, you and I understand that there's some people who do not believe in the account in Revelation. They believe it's kind of a mythical story that God gave to man. It's not a mythical story. It was a historical event when God took the dust of the ground and formed Adam from the dust of the ground. It's very interesting. The body of man was made by God Himself. However, after Adam fell into sin, comparing humanity to dust was a way of pointing out that we do, in our physical bodies, have physical weakness. And they have a transitory nature. You remember that account in Scripture when Abraham was communicating with the Lord about the fact that God was going to destroy the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah? And he kept saying, now if there's 50 righteous people, would you spare Sodom and Gomorrah? And the Lord says, if there's 50 righteous, if there's 40, if there's 30, 35, 40, 20, 30, 25, and on down to 10, and he stopped at 10, saying, Lord, I just want to ask you one more time. I'm just dust and ashes, but I want to ask you this as Lord of life. Will you judge the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah if there's 10 righteous people there? And there weren't 10 righteous people in the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. But he referred to himself as one who was of dust and ashes. So this state of human weakness is something that calls for the compassion of the Lord. The Lord knows that we have weaknesses in our physical bodies. And this is why the psalmist said in Psalm 103, "As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows that how we were formed, and he remembers that we are dust." God acknowledges the fact that that historical reference in Genesis, God formed man of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, which we have now, and man became a living soul. But we were formed from the dust of the ground, and yet we have life within us. Now quickly, in Genesis 1:26 and 27, we read about the fact that man was made in the image of God, and I would like to read those references. I really would. If we're going to say, yeah, we'd like to look in the Bible and see, what does it say about the human body? Well, Genesis 1, very clear. 26 and 27. Here we go. An actual historical record. "Then God said, let us make man in our image." Why did he say, let us make man? He said it because of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man, watch this now, in the image of God, in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Notice the repetition of terminology here. In the image of God is repeated, and the fact that God created man is repeated in the text there as well. So we want to ask ourselves a question. We want to ask ourselves a question. Why is it significant that God made our bodies the way he did? There are ways in which our bodies actually reflect something of God's own character. You know, I never thought about this before. Man is made in the image of God. And when we think of man being made in the image of God, we think about the fact that he's a personal being. He's a relational and moral being. He has an intellect and emotion and will. And we do that as well. We have that as well as people. But our physical bodies actually give us some things that remind us that there are ways in which our bodies reflect the character of God. And I never thought about it this way. First of all, our physical bodies give us the ability to see. God sees. God the Father does not have physical eyes like we do, but he sees. We have ears that we can hear. Listen, one of the things we know for sure, when we pray, God hears us. We're made in the image of God, and we have the ability to hear as well. We have the ability to hear in our hearts the Lord speak to us. But we have the ability to hear with our ears. We have mouths and we're able to speak. And God has spoken to mankind down through the years. We are, even in our physical being, we are like God. Now, man being created in the image of God, and the fact that there is a likeness to God himself, reminds us of the fact that almost everything we do is done by means of our physical bodies. So you say, you know, where are you going on this? Where I'm going on this is say that our bodies are important and we should take care of them. We shouldn't demean them. We shouldn't try to change them. We are made by God himself to be men or women as God designed. It's interesting that the scriptures encourage us to be like God himself. Even though we are physical, and we have a soul and spirit, of course, we are to be like God. You say, what do you mean we're to be like God? Ephesians 5:1 and 2 says this. Take a look at it. Did you know that there's a passage of scripture that even though you're in a body with a soul and a spirit, that God wants you to be like himself? Wow, that's interesting. Lord, how do you want me to be like you? I mean, you're God and I'm a human being in a body. How do you want me to be like you? Wow. Watch it carefully. Ephesians 5:1. Therefore, as imitators of God, as dear children, walk in love as Christ also loved us and has given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. So here the Word of God is telling us that we are like God and we are to imitate our God. In what way? We're to show love and compassion to others as we move through this life in our physical bodies with a soul and spirit within. And many other truths related to that. Now, stay with me for a few more minutes. Here's an interesting thing. The Bible makes it very clear that we as believers are to have control over our bodies. This is an interesting subject in relationship to the human body. Key verse, and it wouldn't hurt if we looked at this, Romans chapter 6, verses 12 and 13. We are to have control over our bodies. Romans chapter 6, verses 12 and 13. Romans 6:12. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present the members of your body, parts of your body, of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, because you have spiritual life, and your members as instruments of righteousness. In other words, we're to use our bodies in ways to help others, to bring honor and glory to the Lord, to be useful in this life. We're to use the energy and the parts of our bodies in order to bring honor and glory to Him. Do not let sin reign in your mortal body. Do not let sin control the way you live. So therefore, as a believer, recognizing that my body was given to me by God, I need to take care of it, and I need to be careful to say no to temptation and sin. Because the members of our body, you see, are to be used as instruments for God. There are things that we can say, there are things that we can do that bring honor and glory to the one who made us. And that's what this passage is really all about. In his book, The Christian Response, Mike Coist wrote this: if your body makes all the decisions and gives all the orders, and if you obey, wow, wait a minute. If the body makes all the decisions, I'm tired, I'm not going to work today, I'm going to sleep in. That would be your body talking to you. I don't know if that's the best illustration. If your body makes all the decisions and gives all the orders, and if you obey, the physical can effectively destroy every other dimension of your personality. Your emotional life will be blunted and your spiritual life will be stifled, and ultimately you will become anemic spiritually. Listen to this one. This is heavy duty. Okay. This is heavy duty. Raise the windows. Oh, they don't go up. That's right. Over 200 years, Susanna Wesley, you know, the mother of Charles and John, greatly used to the Lord in England, said this. What'd she have, 12 or 13 children? Susanna Wesley, quote, "Whatever increases the strength and authority of your body over your mind, that thing is a sin to you. That thing is a sin to you." Wow. So if this is true, if I'm seeing in the Bible that my mind has to have control over my body and tell my body what to do, then I need to look at a passage like 1 Corinthians 9:27. Well, let's look at it together. This is really important. If you're going to think about what the Bible says about the human body, look what the Apostle Paul said. 1 Corinthians 9:27. He says, wow, "I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified." So he's saying there is a discipline that I need to exercise with regards to my body. Now, what's neat about this is I'm reading all this and I'm saying, wow, Ken Rogers, you're going to be talking about the body. in church, you know. You better be careful. I better be careful, right? I have a responsibility before God. Moving into this subject, I found a book. Stay with me for a few more minutes. I told you this is going to be a different subject this morning. I found the book called The Purity Code for Teens. It's written by Jim Burns. And he was reading a verse like 1 Corinthians 6:13b. In fact, you might want to turn back and look at that one. 1 Corinthians 6:13b says, I'm not going to read A. Now, the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord. And the Lord for the body. In other words, God gave us these bodies so that we'll use them for His glory. And He's going to watch out after you. You're His child. He will watch out after you. If you take care of your body as you should, He will watch out after you because your body actually belongs to Him. We looked at that reference. So here's the purity code real quick. Number one, He's looking in the Bible. He's talking to teens. And He says, number one, honor God with your body. Number two, renew your mind with the Word of God. Number three, turn your eyes away from worthless things. And number four, guard your heart. And obviously it's going to take the work of the Holy Spirit within us as Christians, whether we're adults, teens, or children, to accomplish this. Quickly, honor your body. 1 Corinthians 6:13. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. So what's he saying here? He's saying, be real careful. Be real careful that you don't fall into sexual sin. Be real careful. Yesterday on the screen, the pastor teaching with regards to prayer said, I have a sad thing to mention. The first church that I took in California, the pastor of this large church fell into sexual sin and broke the church in half. Sad, isn't it? Really is. What the Word of God says, I would have no excuse to say, oh, I didn't know that the Bible says be careful and be alert and be on guard against sexual sin. Oh, I know the Bible says that. 1 Corinthians 6:19, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you and which you receive from God. The Holy Spirit lives within you. Take care of your body. Number one, honor your body. Number two, renew your mind. I like the way he talked to teens. He talked to teens by saying, how we fill our minds determines much about the quality of our lives. If we put good things into our minds, then good things will result. And he said, remember those passages of Scripture like Philippians 4, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, if there's any good report, if there's any virtue, if there's any praise, think on these things. We need to be careful how we think with our bodies, with our minds. Thirdly, turn your eyes away from worthless things. I thought this was interesting. Matthew 6:22, Jesus said, the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. In other words, Jesus was saying, be careful what you look at. Obviously, we're going to use a basic, obvious one for us. Stay away from pornography. Pornography is dangerous to the mind. In fact, these words of Jesus, Matthew 6:22, your eyes, Jesus was saying, are a window to your soul. Your eyes are also a window to your brain. And you basically take a picture of the things that you see. Boy, that's very interesting. The fourth one, guard your heart. You know the verse, Proverbs 4:23. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Guard your heart. That's the control center of your whole being. Your heart, the control center. Put a guard over it. Be careful what comes into your sphere of thinking, in your mind and in your heart. And he gave the story of a young Christian man who went off to college. He was raised in a Christian home. And he went off to college and he let his guard down. And he allowed a negative use of the internet He began drinking heavily, and he even played around with drugs. And this young man said, it's as if God left me. Now listen, if you know Jesus as your Savior, God doesn't leave you. The Lord says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. But your fellowship with God can be really harmed and broken. So guard your heart. Make sure that you keep a love relationship with your Lord and your God. Vitally, vitally important. And lastly, Romans 12, 1 and 2. Romans 12, 1 and 2. The last verse that we'll look at that speaks about the body. Romans 12, 1 and 2. The Apostle Paul, I believe, not only knowing Romans 1 through 11 and all these great things that God has done for us in bringing us Christ as Savior and dealing with our sin and giving to us the Holy Spirit, who in turn will help us to live and please God. He comes all the way up to chapter 12 and says, I beseech you, therefore, in the light of everything that God has done for you, here's the command. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service or spiritual worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So what's the command? We are to give our bodies to the Lord, to be used for His glory. And that's why we say, you know, when you look at the conversion of Saul in the Scriptures, Saul, as soon as he was converted, he said, Lord, what do you want me to do? So every day we should be saying, Lord, what do you want me to do today? With my body, with my mind, with my soul and spirit, Lord, what do you want me to do? You see, there comes a point in time in which we need to give our bodies as a living sacrifice to God. So here's my point. You take a person as they receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and they're saved and they're on their way to heaven. But they're not really a committed Christian, and they're not really living for Christ. And sometimes they fall into some sins which affect their bodies. But yes, they know Jesus as their Savior and they're going to heaven, but they're not really taking good care of their bodies, and sometimes they'll use their bodies to fall into sin. And so the Apostle Paul says, here's what you need to do. Here's where the commitment comes in. After you trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you need to have a time when you commit your body to the Lord. You say, is that in the Bible? Well, there it is in Romans 12, 1 and 2. You have to come to a place in your life where you are committed to Christ as being Lord of your life. He wants to be the Lord of your life. He wants to have control of your body, your mind, your heart. He wants to do that. Now, I'm going to tell you when I made that decision. Word of Life Camp, Scroon Lake, New York, senior in high school, out on an island in the middle of the lake, campfire service, right? Campfire service. And Jack Wertzen, he was still here when I was there. Jack Wertzen says, okay, most of you teens, maybe all of you, have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But if you really want to experience the best in your life and allow the Lord to use you for His glory, I want you to find a stick on the ground, come up, and cast it into the fire. Wow. I still remember that night. I gave my life to the Lord. And prior to that, I was thinking about being a history professor. But after that, the Lord says, no, get down to Dallas Seminary and train to be a pastor. So the Lord can change you around, can change things around a little bit. But we need to ask ourselves, have we really done this? Many of you have heard of Chip Ingram, radio pastor. And Chip Ingram said, and I'll close on this. He said, for 2.5 years I was a Christian, I knew the Lord. But he said, my commitment level was really down. And I was here one day and here another day. And I said, Lord, I don't want to be like that. I want to be committed to you. And I want you to use me in the lives of other people. I want you to use me, and at that time, I want you to use me in the lives of college students. And so Chip Ingram went back to his room and he said, Lord, I give myself wholly to you. And he said, from that moment of commitment, my life really changed. And my relationships changed. And I saw God was using me, my body, soul, and spirit, for His honor and glory. Let's close in prayer.